Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for these words of peace and reconciliation, and we pray for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit to be with us, to apply that peace and reconciliation to ourselves, and to receive your help, that you will be in the hearts of those to whom we minister in our lives, that they too may come to know the righteousness of Jesus Christ, find direction and meaning in their lives to be representatives and ambassadors of the message of reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The young pastor was correct at our symposium who said to me, I'm going to have a weekend of evangelism rally, and I want you there to speak and to encourage my people and to train them and motivate them. And he said it'll be during Lent, and I would like to have you use that text in 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter that talks about ambassadors for Christ and about reconciliation. He was right, but that's a terrific challenge. When laymen or ourselves think of it, the vows we make when we're ordained or when we're installed, or even those people who join the church, or laymen who are voted into office in the church, and we bring them up to the front to install them. And these words are repeated. Pastors, laymen alike, do you believe? Oh, yes. Credo, I believe, we believe. Do you intend to live the way of life that's implied in this Christian faith? Yes, I so intend. By the help of God, yes, by the help of God, we need God's help to be representative ambassadors of this way of life. And the first place where we find that help of God is in God actually giving us, delegating to us, the power of the life of His kingdom. That's good leadership, delegating power or authority. As St. Paul did it, he said, that which was committed to me, I commit to you, I commit to others. And so as leaders in among those who are representatives of the kingdom of life, of the reconciliation of Christ, we do delegate this authority because we know it's true. The primordial unity in God, God was in Christ. Christ is in the world. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Paul knew this. Christ is in the sacrament. This is radically new power. Take and drink. This is the blood of the New Testament. A new power has come to us. Now, when we face that promise that we will try to live by that life that is implied in the teachings of Jesus Christ, which Jesus himself said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we try to live that life, we find, yes, by the help of God, coming to us. I can think of that unity then that comes to us when we're in danger of being estranged or pulled apart or afraid to try to live by it. In the thing that happened to me, it happened to me just as it does to you. You're afraid, your wife is afraid, maybe your children are afraid. Well, what this means to go out and live as representatives and ambassadors of Jesus Christ, I was too. I wasn't reared in a parsonage. And I came to look at this parsonage right next to the church and it had a big picture window. What could you think of there? Well, they're going to be watching us. That picture window wasn't built there, surely, I thought, to look at some beautiful piece of nature out there, because all was there was a gravel parking lot, narrow one, right next to the road, and the people. Well, yes, I could see the people coming into the church, and that would be a pleasure. That would be a good picture to look at, an active congregation. But I thought it's a two-way picture window. They're also going to be observing the parsonage family. And how does the parsonage family represent this ministry of reconciliation? And that was true. And I found out, though, that as it developed, that we enjoyed this parsonage life right next to the church. That was the way of life we wanted to live. And we were not faced here by people who were critical of us. We were faced by a unified family of Christ. That old 85-year-old retired farmer who came past that picture window and early in the morning and knocked on the door, he came there not to criticize me or observe whether I was up working yet or anything like that, but he says, I see that there's some painting has to be done around this parsonage and church, and I come here to volunteer to do it. And when he was killed in a car accident, I found that I had been so attached to him, he looked like my grandfather, that it was a great sorrow to conduct that funeral. And oh, so many people came because he had been a help to a lot of people in that area. There wasn't room in the church for all those people, and they were sitting outside and outside the windows and down in the basement. Pastors came. There was one in the sacristy. I said, here's my manuscript for the funeral sermon. I was so sad I thought I would break down. I cried when the bells tolled. So we were united as one in the family of Christ, ambassadors for Christ. The second thing is, we are to reconcile estrangement, not necessarily conflict. Sometimes it's just separation that happens. Children go off to work in distant states or other things happen. One woman said, and you know the word reconciliation here comes from earlier in 1 Corinthians where a woman is to be reconciled with her husband. That term is used here. We are ministers, ambassadors of this reconciliation. To bring together that which is estranged. Maybe it's in a loss of meaning in a vocation. Maybe it's, I remember not sleeping one night when one of the children ran away, a teenage boy ran away from his family. Maybe it's that kind of estrangement. Maybe it is a husband and wife. But we bring in a ministry of reconciliation. It's a two-way picture window of sacrificial unselfishness. Christ died for all, and all died in Christ, died to self. Die to that which is evil, that which gets old, to be raised to a new creation. I saw this two-way picture window in a way in which you can imagine it as going out from that telephone-a-thon we had here, and I prayed before that call. And I said, I hope this pastor that I'm calling will be able to help, this graduate will be able to help our seminary. And you know what happened? He answered on the phone. He said, this terrible thing has happened to me. He tried to be a representative of the love of Christ. He had taken a little child into his home, made a foster son of him in his own family. This child is now 21 years old, an alcoholic, a drug addict, and a criminal trying to support his addictions. This was such a shame for this pastor, trying to represent as an ambassador of Christ in his way of life, in his family, that he resigned his parish, his work. And he says, I now have tried to help this boy, and it's going to take a long time, and I see I can't just spend all of that time. And I would look to you now. You get around, you people in the seminary know where there's some vacant parishes. I wish you'd help me. Give me a name of one. I would like to go back to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ as a parish pastor. So you see, it's a two-way picture window. We look out there. We say, I hope you can help us. And they're saying to us, what can you do to help us? They need help. We need help. We help one another in the family of Christ. And the third thing is, we are to be communicators of this truth. And that's just not speaking or lecturing or teaching. It's also nonverbal. One word in the text, yes. Exhort, speak. We are to do that in our witnessing. But second, we are to be ambassadors. That means representatives. The way in which we live, that there's a contagion there, an enthusiasm, a model. That's a happy way of life, to live the life that Christ wants us to live. And there is a righteousness there, even though we say we need the help of God, but that righteousness and the death of Christ is there. We had a fellow here, had him in homiletics class, and he wrote such effective sermons, and he told me about his life. He had been a public relations agent for the governor of California, who is now president of the United States. But in the stress of the work, he found that he became estranged from his wife, and he became an alcoholic, and he was destroyed in his vocation. But then there was some evangelistic pastor, an ambassador for Christ, bringing the word of God to him, and this man was changed. He was converted. So that now, I just recently heard within the last 3 weeks that he is starting mission after mission. He's a very effective church planter. He has credibility when he tells that Christ died for all and tells about the righteousness of Christ, because that righteousness of Christ changed this man's life. See, 65% of it, of this communication, is nonverbal. The credibility is coming out to that man. He is now using his public relations for the greatest calling and the greatest kingdom that there ever was or ever will be. No ambassador ever experienced the royalty that this public relations man experiences, witnessing of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And finally, we have to come up with new solutions in our leadership for ambassadors. Innovative solutions. Because the challenges and the obstacles come at us so heavy. Yes, by the help of God. I say yes, by the help of God. I was preaching a week ago Sunday at a seminary Sunday, about 300 miles from here in a distant state. Coming back, I was making some calls to thank people who had been major donors for this seminary. I stopped at a, didn't have the phone number of one of them. It was a woman. I thought, oh, it must be some elderly woman who has saved her money or has inherited something. She's given this great gift to our seminary in 1985, and I'm going to stop and thank her. Found a phone number at a store and restaurant along the road, along the freeway, and I said, my wife and I would like to stop and thank you. She said, sure, and told us how to get there, and we came in, and here was a young woman. Two little children, a four-year-old girl and a two-year-old boy, and the woman didn't have a wedding ring, and I thought, well, this is unusual. And after about 20 minutes of conversation, having handed out the literature from the seminary and finally came to this place, we wanted to thank you. That was really a remarkable gift you gave. Yes, she said. I added quite a little of my own money to the memorials. I said, what happened? Well, he went left of center, and he hit the truck head on. And now I knew who this was. She said, a woman observed that he slumped over the steering wheel just before the accident. I said, yes, I preached in the congregation in our area by the seminary where you were serving in your field work, and which you made your home congregation when you were in SEM 4 year. I preached there the Sunday after your husband was killed. The people were very sorrowful. They planned to go to his funeral. We prayed for you. You are a very strong person. She said, yes, many people helped us. The people at the seminary, the congregation we served, where he was killed, where we served our vicarage, many people helped us. And we want to help you again when we can. What is news at the seminary? I said, we find it difficult to find people to study for the ministry. Yes, she said. I read that. And she looked down. Her little 2-year-old son, Ben, was there. She said, I've thought about that. I read that. And I've thought, and I hope, that Ben will study for the ministry someday. Amen.